On this episode of Cox Talking Gamecocks, I discuss the recent staff departures from the football program and all the drama that surrounded that. I also touch on the men's recent frustrating loss to Mississippi State and what they have to do to get right against Tennessee. And I also talk about the women's program, their game against Alabama, and their upcoming schedule. Okay, here we go. Hey, welcome to episode 40 of Cox Talking Gamecocks. I am your host, Tim Cox, where I will keep every episode from 1801 to 2001. And episode 40, how about that? I was getting ready to record this bad boy, and I was like, damn, we're getting up there. Nice little round number. Hopefully this continues to grow. If you are a steady listener, thank you so much. Continue to spread the word. If you're a new listener, welcome to the jungle, baby. We have a lot of fun here. We don't take ourselves too seriously. I say we. That's just me, my alter ego. He's over here just chilling. But we have fun. And 1801 to 2001 means I'm trying to keep every episode from 18 minutes and 1 second to 20 minutes and 1 second, 1801, when our school was founded, and 2001, A Space Odyssey. But don't get on my case too bad if I miss it here and there occasionally. That's a little cover my ass move there. But I hope everyone is having a lovely week and is staying warm, staying safe out there. This episode, what I'm going to do is we're going to go over all of the drama. Yes, drama. We're back with Carolina football. Gamecock football is never the same. It's not itself without any drama. And there was plenty of drama this week with a couple of staff departures on National Signing Day. We also introduced Sterling Lucas, our new coach. Then I'll talk about the men's team, talk about frustration, preview their upcoming game against Tennessee, and then talk about women's basketball, and then we'll wrap things up here. But to kick things off, a bit of Gamecock trivia for you here. Actually, this is the Gamecock fact. For those of you not keeping track, since football season ended, and also I got a lovely gift for Christmas from my mom, it is a Gamecock daily calendar with facts and trivia, so we're incorporating this into the pod. So fact for today. USC product Stephon Gilmore was a starter at cornerback for the Patriots as they turned away the Rams in Super Bowl, whatever that is, can't read Roman numerals, on this date in 2019. It's a funny way of saying you won the Super Bowl. You turned away the Rams. Yeah, shout out Stephon Gilmore. I mean, all pro, first round draft pick, part of the goon squad, the badass defense that was with him, DJ Swag, Clowney, all those guys. Yeah. I mean, we talked about it with Whit Merrifield in the last fact that anytime you can see a Gamecock at seat at the next level, it's really cool. Personally, not the biggest fan of the Patriots. Actually, not a fan at all of the Patriots. So happy for Stephon, not happy for that team. But hey, whatever. And the Super Bowl's coming up. I hope you all have some fun plans for the Super Bowl. Got to get your wings, got to get your beer. And I'm letting y'all know right now, if I ever run for president, my sole platform will be to move the Super Bowl to Saturday. I said that about the national championship, and it should be the same for the Super Bowl. Or the Super Bowl always has to align with President's Day, the day after. Because the day after a Super Bowl sucks. Having to go to work and act like you don't have heartburn, and you're hungover, and you're tired. That sucks. So vote for Tim Cox when that happens, 2050. Moving on here. So this past week, it was National Signing Day across college football. Now, really with the early signing day period, it's not quite the same as it used to be. National Signing Day used to have this big buildup. There were the ESPN specials and all that jazz. And now with early signing day, a lot of guys do go that route. And so that's sort of the new excitement and everything like that. So all is quiet on the Western front from Gamecock football. The guys who had committed They were waiting to sign for whatever reason, wanted to enroll later. Some of the transfers had to get some things sorted away. They signed. No surprises. No guys who didn't sign. So guys like Stone Blanton, Kyla Corton, right? Spencer Rattler, Austin Stogner, right? Devonny Reed. All of these guys are signed. They are officially part of the family. We had some awesome graphics and awesome funny videos that the media team put out there. Kudos to them. And welcome to the family. And the next chapter has officially begun in Gamecock football as this class is officially signed and wrapped. Maybe another transfer here or there, but for all intents and purposes, our class is set. And it's pretty cool to see. I mean, depending on the rankings, some people have us in the 25 to 20 range. Some people got us in that 20 to 15 range. But the point is, it is a solid class and obviously some very, very strong transfers coming in. But normally, there is some drama associated with signing day, and even though all of the signees and recruits went according to plan, there were some other things that did not necessarily go according to plan, as Coach Eric Kimry and staff member Connor Shaw both announced they are leaving the Carolina football program, and oh my goodness, was Gamecock Twitter in full meltdown mode. I mean, there was drama left and right, conspiracy theories left and right, and it's just never a dull moment. And I am going to say, Gamecock Twitter is a funny place. It has highs, it has lows, but I am glad that we are part of a fan base that cares and is willing to hop on the Bird app and spend all day just firing off tweets, takes, breaking news that doesn't exist, and all that jazz. So I'm going to break down my thoughts on this situation. And we're going to go with the fluffy version, the sentimental version, and then the tough love realist version. So starting with Connor Shaw, the player development role, alumni relation chair, not an on-the-field coach. Connor Shaw is on the Mount Rushmore of Gamecock football, maybe even the Mount Rushmore of Gamecock athletics. He was the perfect person who you want in and around your program. I think he's the perfect person to talk about life after football, which is what a lot of that player development role is. You're seeing that more and more in college football. He made it to the NFL, didn't work out, had to get a real job, found his way back to the program, and seems like a really good guy, good head on his shoulder, family man. That's the kind of person you want around your program. And talk about the perfect person to head up alumni relations. So it really stinks to see him go because that felt like a natural fit. It seemed like it was a dream job for both people, both parties involved. And to hear that he's leaving to basically go pursue opportunities unknown, what sounds like outside of football, is kind of interesting. And he said that there's no ill will. It's great positive terms. Shane Beamer said the same thing. He's welcome back. He just won't have an office. He literally can come and go as he pleases. But he just wanted to spend more time with his family, which I can totally understand. And so I don't want to see him go. And we're going to miss him. But I hope to goodness he really is going to stick around because Connor Shaw is the GOAT. Now, the realist side of me, the realist perspective, if you will. I'm willing to bet that 75-80% of fans of schools have no idea who their alumni chair is, and they might not even know who their player development person is. So if this was any other school or most any other person, this wouldn't be news. It just sucks that it's Connor because we want him around our program, and he reminds us of the good old days, and he's the kind of person who you want who can talk about a winning culture. But wins and losses, I don't see this affecting that. And I can't blame the guy for wanting to try something new. Maybe his current job was more demanding than we realize. Maybe he doesn't want to schmooze boosters and alumni every Saturday. Maybe he wants to spend that with his family. And we already have Derek Moore, Demo, who is that in-house mentor, player development, motivational type. So I bet you Connor might have been a little bored and wanted to take on a new challenge. And you can't fault him for that. And he put out a nice video. It's all good. There's no ill will. Nobody pushed him out or anything like that. But if we're just looking at this black and white from just on a paper, it's okay, guys. Like, Connor's not going anywhere. He's still going to be around the program. I'm sure he'll do some bits. But maybe he wanted an identity outside of Carolina football. Maybe he was missing the program and that's why he was brought back in, but maybe he wants to take on a new chapter and be a provider in a different sense. I don't know, but I wish him nothing but the best. And I really do hope we see him around. Now, the other one that had people all up in an uproar was Eric Kimry, tight end coach, USC former player. He is leaving the SEC, leaving his job as a tight ends coach to go back and coach high school. He was a high school head coach legend at Hammond in South Carolina. He's now going to coach in Chattanooga at a, from what I understand, is a very prestigious but powerhouse football program in Chattanooga. Now, here is the one that people got all up in an uproar saying that the rumors about Satterfield being an asshole are true. He's pushing away Eric Kimry. Why would Eric Kimry leave when this is his alumni? He said that this was a dream to work for the school. Like, no. Sat might be a dick. He might be a tough guy to work with. But I don't believe that this had anything to do with that. The fluffy part in me is, yeah, again, that stinks. You don't want to see your alumni leaving. It's really weird that the two guys who have left are alum, and that is not common in college. But here's the deal. Life in the SEC, coaching at this level, is not for everybody. And Kimry was used to being the head coach at Hammond. He was used to A, running the show, B, working those types of hours. I bet you he realized maybe he bit off more than he could chew. And he wanted to go back to what's familiar. Anyone who's left a job, even an office job, when you start your new one, there are aspects of your old one that you may miss. And I think he missed the time with his family and maybe a little bit more of control, maybe less pressure, didn't have to recruit. I mean, the man was just in Boston on a recruiting trip. He's not going to have to do that anymore. And on top of it, he's really good friends with the headmaster of this school. I didn't know headmasters are real. I thought that was just in Hogwarts, but whatever. So with Kimry, it stinks, right? Again, you don't want to see him leave. He is a Gamecock, but it is what it is. And this opens an opportunity for Shane Beamer to go and find someone who has coached tight ends at the SEC level, at the Power 5 level at least, and who has experience recruiting tight ends. So it could be a net gain from a wins and losses perspective. Optics-wise, yeah, it doesn't look the best that your alum is leaving to go coach high school. But when you take a step back and think about everything else, I heard it was comparable money as well. It might not be the craziest thing in the world. And this concept that Sat is literally this evil, horrible monster forcing people out and they all hate his guts, like, yeah, he might not be the best coworker. And maybe his communication is not good. But I don't think that someone would be willing to turn down the opportunity to coach Austin Stogner and Spencer Rattler, you know, if just out of – they would turn that opportunity just because of one person. I just don't think that that is the case. I truly don't. So that's the news. And I think that when it's all said and done, the dust settles, we're going to be okay. Shane Beamer has a vision. He has a culture that he has in mind. I don't think this speaks to the opposite of the culture that we're hearing. Beamer said in his press conference that he had talked to both Connor and Eric Kimry for weeks about their decision. This was not a decision they took lightly. And I think the fact that they waited until National Signing Day speaks volumes. That they didn't want to show any instability in the program before guys signed to give any guys doubts. So I think that was a nod to Shane, a professional courtesy, and I think we're going to be okay. But still stinks to see Gamecocks leave, but hey, we wish them nothing but the best. And maybe this is 3D chess from Shane where he is going to funnel Kimry's players who were in Tennessee, funnel them away from Tennessee down to us. That's the fun play about it. And then also Sterling Lucas, the new outside linebackers coach, he was introduced. He seems like a badass. He's going to bring energy, positivity, great technique. What a day summed up for Gamecock football. I love it. Love talking Gamecock football. If anyone has thoughts on this, DM me. I'm glad to talk shop. I'm glad to debate. It was a hectic day. I had to put my phone away. I could not stop. I was on Twitter. I'm in group chats. It was just nuts. I had to put my phone away. I actually had to do work. It was bananas. But shifting gears away from that, as we wish them all the best, and it's going to be fun to see who we bring in, but shifting gears away from that, men's basketball played an actual game. So we're talking about potential wins and losses. Here's a real win and loss, and it was a loss to Mississippi State to start off our week, and there's just not much you can say. We lost 78-64. We were down 45-23 at the half, and this whole idea of a second-half hero team, yes, we outscored them by 8 points, 41-33 in the second half, but you cannot be down by 22 points and try to come back from that on the road in the SEC. That's just not going to happen. So some player highlights here for y'all. James Reese continues having nice games, 15 points from him. Devin Carter with 10 points, and that's kind of it. Jermaine Cousinard had 7. Stevenson had 6. They just looked disjointed, and almost from the jump, they were down really quick by double digits, tried to battle back. Mississippi State was hitting their shots. We started to make those defensive adjustments that we've seen in the second half. It's just too little too late. And as cool as it was to see these second half heroics during that 3-game win streak, you can't rely on that. You have to be able to at least keep it close in the first half. That's what the difference was in some of those games, that they were only down 6 points, 4 points, not 22. So a big disappointment. It felt like we had a real opportunity to steal one on the road. Mississippi State is just okay. They were not winning a lot of their recent games going in there. I don't think that that's the most hostile place to go into. The place was half empty, and we laid an egg. And it is really bad timing because as we segue into the preview, Saturday afternoon, 1 p.m. at home, taking on Tennessee Volunteers. This is an enormous game. Our next two games for our men's team is Tennessee and Kentucky. So two powerhouses in the SEC. Right now, Tennessee is ranked 22. They are 15-6 overall, 6-3 in conference, and they are 4-1 in their last 5 games. They're on a roll. They've been good for a while. When you look at the stats here, they average 74 points per game, which is about 3 better than ours at 71, while they only allow 63 points per game compared to our 67. So they're outscoring their opponents on average about 11 points per game. It's very, very impressive. Rick Barnes, I believe, is their coach. He has been known for good defense. When their offense catches up with them, you see the tournament teams that he's produced, teams that get to the Sweet 16, sometimes even beyond. Right? I don't know much about their players now, but that's scary. So what we have to do is regroup and find a way to get a W, because what you can't do is squander the 3-game win streak that you just had. Right? You have to find a way to buck up, rise to the occasion at home on a Saturday afternoon against an SEC rival. This place should be rocking. Colonial Life should be popping. So my crow to the game here is A, that first one. Rise to the occasion. Find a way to shake that off, okay? Have your moment, right? It's about time that we have a moment. Frank is usually good for a win like that, where you're just like, what the hell was that? This would be a pretty darn good time for that. And my second crow to the game is try to find a way to make Tennessee come down to us. Have them play more in our range, that gritty game, that 65-point to, you know, maybe 70-point win, right? Let's get out in transition. Let's get some nice transition buckets. Play hard defense. And these leaders, Stevenson, Cousinard, Bryant, Reese, they need to have a game. If all of them can find their way into double digits, I think we could hang with these guys. But those are all ifs, okay? We need to play hard. And if you are going to the game, rock it. Be loud. Be proud. This is a big opportunity. You cannot drop this one. If you drop this one, then you go have to play Kentucky. You run the risk of negating that 3-game win streak. If you want to salvage something, this is really it. This is kind of the moment of the season. Kind of all boils down to this one, in my opinion. So we'll see how it goes. And then on the women's side of things here, they are playing Alabama as I speak. I feel bad. I feel bad because they play on Thursdays a lot, and I record on Thursday evenings, and, you know, I get tired. I need my beauty rest. I can't stay up for the whole game and then record and then edit. Although I do feel bad that I am not able to really report on this, but they're playing Alabama. I think it's going to be a curb stomping, and I hope that that comes true. So we will see. I will update y'all on social media. Their next game isn't until next Thursday, I think, even. So I'm not even going to preview that right now. So with that, y'all, that wraps up this episode. Please go follow me on social media. Twitter, it's Cox Gamecocks. Last name, Gamecocks. Instagram is just the name of the show, Cox Talking Gamecocks. And if you are listening anywhere, please like, subscribe, but leave me a review. I appreciate those a lot. I love the feedback. Love to try to find ways I can better make the podcast better. But with that, y'all, go Cox, root them in, and I'll catch you on the flip side.